Okay, as we go through this, Proverbs, we know, sometimes have short statements, okay, and they kind of change from verse to verse. What we're dealing with right now is kind of a cluster of verses that kind of deal with the same matter. I think last time I left off in verse 14, but verses 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 all kind of come together. You could probably make a pretty good sermon out of those verses there. But they come together and they kind of tie the whole picture together. Okay, in verse 14, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. Okay, that's your outlook on life, your outlook on situations, how you handle things. Paul said that he gloried in his tribulation, right? That's a tough thing to understand. It's a hard thing to grasp, okay? But Paul, as we know, as you read the story of Paul, you've seen all the things that happened to him in his life and the trials and the tribulations that he had to endure, right? And he gloried in those tribulations, right? The heart, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. That's hard to do in certain situations. So verse 13 is your outlook on life, okay? Verse 15, where we are today, it says, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Okay, all the days of the afflicted. Okay, now I want to look at the afflicted here, okay, and kind of break this thing down here. The afflicted is someone who is grievously afflicted or troubled with a disease or a troubling time, a difficult time in their life, or maybe difficult times in their life. Okay? Can we consider a good person, what we view as humans, a good person, what we view as a good person, can he be afflicted? Obviously, the answer is yes. We've all gone through times in life. If you've lived long enough, you know there's ups and downs to life, okay? But does that make you evil, right? Because it says right here in the verse, all the days of the afflicted are evil, okay? Does that make you evil? Well, not entirely. That's not what this verse is entirely dealing with, okay? Turn, if you would, over to Psalm 119. Verse 71. Now, this is David writing here. David says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, right? He said, no, that's good. It's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Okay, so sometimes afflictions can be a good thing, okay? There's many ways that looking at this verse here, you know, some of the evil that David did in his life, was David an evil person? I don't think anyone in their right mind would think that David was an evil man, right? But was he capable of doing some evil things? Sure. Sure he was. Absolutely he does. But not all David's afflictions were caused by sin, right? If you think back, you know, David being hunted by Saul, David's sons turning on him, all the things that David did, you know, not all of David's afflictions were caused by sin. You look at Job and his life, right? He was living a holy, righteous life, sacrificing for him and his family before God took them away and took his health away. You look at Elijah being chased by Jezebel, right? Did he deserve any of that? Did he deserve any of those afflictions? Not necessarily. So the first way we can approach this verse in Psalms, sometimes afflictions happen because we need to draw closer to God. Sometimes hard times in life cause us to come to our knees faster than anything else would, right? Sometimes we've been living a Christian life and we get stagnant in our Christian life and God needs to nudge us a little bit, right? And so he'll send an affliction our way, right? Nothing gets you on your knees faster than a hard time. Nothing will. The second way to look at this verse here in Psalms is afflictions happen because something evil that we did in our life. Now, that's not always the case, but you look at some of the cases of David, right? He suffered many afflictions because of some of the things that he did, right? Numbering the children of Israel, many people, thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of people died because of that mistake. You look at the affair with Bathsheba, right? He lost that child, right? So afflictions happen because of evil. And I bet if you would ask David, he would probably admit he learned some pretty hard lessons because of some of the choices that he made, right? That's the hard knocks, the school of hard knocks right there. Proverbs 3:8 talks about fearing God and departing from evil, okay? And then it talks about how it's health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, when I went over that verse back when I first started this whole study in Proverbs, I wasn't really sure how, you know, who can really tell how the physical body and how the spiritual body coincide, right? And how those two meld together for your well-being, for your health. But when you look at this, and you think about some of the things that the Bible says here in Proverbs, when you go through afflicting times in your life, it can be both physically and mentally stressful, okay? It can put a lot of strain on your body, okay? When you're stressed, your body releases the hormone cortisol. That's your fight or flight hormone, okay? Cortisol helps the body mobilize energy, right? Cortisol is not bad in its own right, right? When you work out, you put yourself through an extensive exercise. I don't know if you've heard stories about people in extreme situations doing extraordinary things that they weren't capable of doing prior. You hear tons of stories about that. That's the result of cortisol, okay? Cortisol is not bad on its own, but prolonged stress can lead to high cortisol levels. High cortisol, too much cortisol, just like too much of anything, can be harmful to the body, okay? So prolonged stress leads to harm to the body. Okay, this is just what I find so magnificent about the Bible, right? When you look at the words that Proverbs talking about, now keep in mind Proverbs 3:8, health to the navel and marrow to the bones. High cortisol levels can lead to physical symptoms such as weight gain, diabetes, muscle weakness, fatigue, thinning of the skin, stretch marks, easy bruising, headaches, gastrointestinal problems, risk of increased infections, and last but not least, bone loss, osteoporosis. This is what high cortisol levels do. So when you're constantly putting yourself in situations where you're stressed out, you're living a bad life, and you're stressed out, you're dealing with guilt, you're dealing with regret, and it's wearing on your mental, it's wearing on your body, it's doing something to your physical body as well, right? That's why the Bible says, fearing the Lord and departing from evil is health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. It builds strong bones, believe it or not. Having good character, being a good person, doing what the Bible tells you to do, builds strong bones. Doesn't just build strong character. It builds a strong physical body as well. And I'm just so fascinated at how the spiritual body and the physical body work hand in hand. You know, imagine if the medical field would acknowledge the spiritual side of things. You know, imagine going to the doctor and the doctor telling you, just read the Bible, right? Imagine if that was the prescription instead of for your gastrointestinal problems, writing a prescription and saying, here, take this, you know, once or twice a day, whatever, blah, 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 blah. Imagine him telling you, hey, look at Proverbs, right? Look at what are you doing with your life? Like, not just asking you, okay, what's your diet? What's your relationship with the Lord? Imagine a doctor telling you that. That'd be crazy. And if the medical field could just get a hold of that, imagine the cures that could come about it. You know, a healthy fear of the Lord can prevent so much sickness and so much hurt. You know, evil does not just stop at taking your spiritual relationship with the Lord. If you turn back to Proverbs 15, actually look at chapter 14, verse 30. Proverbs 14, verse 30, a sound heart is life, is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. That's a literal statement, right? That's not just some figurative thing there. That's literal. That's a literal rotting of the body, okay? That's what sin can do to you. It rots your health, okay? If we only could imagine, if we could only see that. I mean, at Calvary, when Jesus Christ took on that sin, I bet you there was physical pain involved with that. Not just the emotional, mental side of it. I bet you there was a physical agonizing pain that came with that. And it's crazy to think about. But that's a literal statement there. It gives a fuller appreciation when you think of Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Labor within what? What are we laboring in, right? Sin, guilt, regret, All these things, right, put stress on our body, put stress on our minds, put stress on our mental. We can't sleep. We can only think about it. And the result is being heavy laden with these physical symptoms of sin and guilt and regret. High cortisol plays an effect on your mental as well. It's not just your physical body, but your mental. It's a cause of anxiety, depression, loss of sleep. Mood changes. I mean, it affects everything. It affects everything. The choices that you make in this life, what you decide to do in this life affects not just your spiritual life, but it affects your physical life as well. And so that's verse 15. Verse 16 and verse 17, we're going to kind of tie together here. They're like, this is kind of like a nice closing to verse 15. A kind of a P.S. to verse 15, if you would. And verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You know, the idea here is that money can buy you a lot of things. It sure can. You can buy all the ones that you want. Nowadays, you can even buy a new heart. You can have a heart transplant, liver transplant. You can ruin your liver. You can ruin your kidneys. You can have blood transfusions. Some guy at work was actually just telling me about this Keith Richards, this guitarist for the Rolling Stones. He had regular blood transfusions because of his addictions to heroin. That's what kept him alive so long. He had regular blood transfusions, right? Now you think, why? What in someone's right mind would cause them to have a heroin addiction? What gets someone to that point, right? What gets someone to have an addiction to alcohol, to drugs, to heroin, to meth, all the stuff that we have out there? You know, it's to get away from your sin. It's to get away from your guilt, your regret. You can't buy your way out of sin or guilt or regret. But that's what you can turn to, heroin, if you don't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you forget that sin. You forget that guilt. The amount of hoops a man will jump through to rid themselves of that grit is crazy. But better is little with God. You know, verse 17, you know, a salad is easier to grow and it's more cost effective to have than having the ox that you either are going to butcher at some point or that you're going to have plow many, many, many fields. It costs a lot to feed an ox. It costs a lot to raise an ox. It costs a lot to have the equipment for the ox to plow. All these things cost so much, but little is better with God. Little is better with God. Matthew 6:21 says, where your heart is, or where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure, right? Do you find yourself always wanting more money, always wanting the better career, always wanting the better house, always wanting the better car, always wanting the better things in life? Or do you find yourself, where's your treasure? Is it in the Lord? If it's in the Lord, then the rest of the things fall into place. Your church life, your church attendance, your love for your family, the time you spend with your family, your priorities in your family, your relationship with the Lord, your relationship with others. But if you treasure money, treasure your career, you put all those other things aside, right? And you prioritize chasing after that overtime, chasing after those things that will make you successful, chasing after the financial wants of your family, not the financial needs. Now, the common attitude of man nowadays is he feels, and this is what I've seen, this is what I've experienced in the workforce, the common attitude of man is that he feels as though if he's providing for his family, that is his only job. And that is a false statement. If you think that all you have to do is put food and a roof over your family as the head of your family, you are sadly mistaken, right? Your family needs your time. Your family needs your love. Your wife needs your love. Your wife needs your attention. Your wife needs all these things other than the money, all that stuff. You know, the steaks on the plate every night, that can go away, right? What your family actually needs is a good spiritual leader in the family, right? Not someone who's constantly at work. I hate working 7-12s. I have to do it on occasion. I hate it. But what I know, and maybe some people can do this, but I cannot. What I notice after a week of 7-12s is my relationship with the Lord is lacking. My relationship with my family is lacking. And so I know that that's not successful in the way that I can succeed and go about things. So I try to avoid them at all costs, but sometimes it's necessary. And so when you're constantly where your heart is, that's where your treasure will be. There's more things in life than just money. You know, there has to be a balance. God, family, relationship, and work. Okay? And so that's verse 16, verse 17. Verse 18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. Okay? Strife is a violent conflict, contention for superiority. Okay? That was the intent behind the crucifixion, is superiority. Right? The chief priests knew that Jesus was superior to them and that he was going to put their business to an end. He knew that Jesus was going to be what put them, would stop bringing the coin in their pocket. Wrathful men appear good before man, right? They want to appear good before man. The chief priests behind the crucifixion, you look at the Catholic Church who has murdered more people in the name of religion than anyone else, right? But they appear before the public as good, right? But they're not. The government claims to have the people's interest at heart, but continue to divide the nation against itself. Wrathful men meet behind closed doors and stir up the people behind the scenes, just like the crucifixion, just like the media nowadays, right? And so that's what this is dealing with, the wrathful man, the strife that they stir up. They stir up the crowds. Verse 19, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. Okay, verse 19 is a comparison between the slothful man and the righteous man. This verse also compares the spiritual life with the physical life. It has two meanings. Both are acceptable. Notice, if you would, the first words here. The way. Okay? That's singular. That means one way. That means one way. Singular meaning there. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Turn back, if you would, in Proverbs to Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 23, for the commandment is the lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Singular, one way. Turn back, if you would, to Psalm 85. Let's look at verse 13. Righteousness shall go before him, and he shall set us in the way of his steps. Singular, one way. So this is speaking spiritually. We need, as Christians, we need to keep the thorns from growing over the way. Okay? Now these thorns could be sins, could be the cares of the world, could be the situations in life, that anything that distracts us from getting alone with our God. Anything that distracts us from our prayer life, anything that distracts us from getting alone in the Word, anything that distracts us from singing praises unto our God. So as Christians, we need continual spiritual maintenance. Because the moment you lack, the moment something comes up, the moment life gets busy, and it gets busy for everyone, right? There's times in life where, you know, the family's got stuff going on, and then I got to go to work, and then this, and this, and this, and this, and you get yourself so caught up in stuff, and you forget about what is actually important. That's when the thorns, the cares of the world, start growing over the way, okay? And so as Christians, we need spiritual maintenance. Notice here, the second part of this verse, if you have the right attitude and receive the way with a humble heart, the way is made plain, right? Verse 19. The way is made plain for the righteous, right? It's easily understood. And I praise the Lord for that, right? That we don't need someone with a PhD to explain the words of God to us. We can get it for ourselves. The other explanation is pretty clear, right? This is in the physical, natural world, right? If you make a path through the woods, If you don't maintain that path, the woods will take it back over, right? The Lord put us here to have dominion. So we have to have dominion over the world. We have to have dominion over our things. Dominion takes effort. It takes work. The diligent is rewarded for their efforts, and the slothful get the thorns and the snares of verse 15, right? The afflictions. The afflictions that come because they don't maintain the things that they have. Verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Okay, the decisions of the prodigal son to pull himself out of the pig pen was a wise choice. Okay, sometimes our pride, sometimes our arrogance get in the way of wisdom. Okay, sometimes we have mental blocks. We don't see some things right away. Some people never pull themselves out of the pen, right? Because of their pride, because of their arrogance, right? The prodigal son made the choice to go out to leave his father. His pride is what took him to the far country, right? Humility always comes before wisdom, right? Humility, it's understanding that you messed up and that you need to change your ways. And the father rejoiced when the prodigal son returned, just like it says here, a wise son maketh a glad father. Verse 21, folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walketh uprightly. Okay, so folly is foolishness, lacking good sense, nonsense. You know, when you stick around the pig pen too long, you become as the pigs are. And that is no joke, okay? The modern pig pens today are the bars and the clubs. That's why they're so dark inside. That's why they're so poorly lit. Because if the place was lit up, you would see the filth and the disgust that is on the floors, that is on the walls, that's on the bar. It's all over. That's why they don't light those places up. It's the modern day pig pen. It's the modern day pig pen. Like I said, if someone lit that place up, someone would see like the disgusting stuff that goes on inside those places. You know, the upright man sees the foolishness of the results of living in the pig pen, okay? The foolish sees the bar as a scene of a good time, right? Drinking with friends, immediate gratification, all of that stuff. But the upright sees drunkenness, sees loneliness, sees the broken families that come about because of it. I just don't understand how a married person would have the desire to go to a bar, right? How does that why? The intent is to go to whore around at a bar. That's why people go to bars, right? That's the intent. So if your intention is to go to a bar, deep down, in my eyes, I'm saying, okay, if a married person wants to go to a bar, then their intent is to have an affair. That's what I would say. That's what I, looking at things and looking at how people, looking at guys that I work with and their life and their choices that they make, I'm just, why are you guys doing this? What's the foolishness? You know what it's going to lead to? It's going to lead to loneliness. You're going to live your life in that bar because once your family leaves you, they're going to want nothing to do with you because of the choices that you made. These are the choices that affect the rest of your life. So when you live in the pig pen, you become as the pigs are. So that's verse 21. Verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Okay? Why is this statement true? Because sometimes we can tend to have a bias towards certain things. Okay? For example, I was thinking about this verse, and I was thinking about all the counsel that went into the play this year. There was tons and tons of counsel. Just, you know, tons of detail, tons of effort, tons of time just thinking about these things, thinking about how, you know, I asked Hank, I asked Jason, I asked several people, you know, I've never played a part of God. How do you play a part of God, right? How do you even do that, right? How do you do that without asking people, okay, what do you think about this line? How do you think that this line could be portrayed, right? Ms. Hoffman several times during the play as we were going on told me and told others to take notes as we were going through to see problems that we seen with the plays and how we could fix them. There's a lot of counsel. Miss Ski gives her a counsel. And Miss Hoffman just takes that counsel. She's not stuck on her main idea. The script from day one to day, we'll say dress rehearsal, the night before the play, is completely different. Completely different than the original work. Why? Because some things just don't work out the way you planned. Sometimes you need to see it and have other people's opinion come in. And I think that's why this play in particular was so impactful and so powerful. There was a lot of counsel that went into this play. A lot. More than most, I would say. And that's because the cast and everyone understood the assignment, right? We understood the depth of the work that needed to be done for it, okay? And so a lot of counsel goes into those things, you know? I gave feedback to others, and what you got was the result on Saturday and Sunday. To be honest, even that last scene that we did, when Hank calls, "Come up hither," right? That was not how that was supposed to go until we finished on dress rehearsal night. That scene was a mess up until dress rehearsal. Dan, Christina, Rachel, you guys know that we couldn't get it right. And that what you guys witnessed on Saturday night was a last minute decision to change it all and go with that. Like, that was not something that we had practiced for months and months and months. Not at all. And so, but it came out powerful. That's the counsel. You know, it's like parents who have blinders on with their kids, right? They think they have just the best, sweetest little angel, right? And meanwhile, their little terrorizers are terrorizing anyone and everyone that they can come in contact with, okay? And so that's that. Then late in life, you know, the parent wonders why their 30-year-old is still living in their basement, right? It's because they had blinders on their entire childhood, okay? So counselors, they help. They help from all situations in life. Whenever you start a project, there's great wisdom in counselors. Where are we at here? Shoot, I went through that way faster. That's pretty much my notes for today, so we're going to close there. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your words. I just ask and pray that you be with Pastor as he gets up to preach this afternoon, Lord. I pray that you would give him wisdom, Lord. Help us to open our eyes and our hearts to hear your words. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.